chapter 2. The verses tonight we want to consider primarily are those verses 31 and 32. They're well known. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, lifting up the fallen. Peter is the one who fell. The Savior speaks about it here. And when it comes to a servant of the Lord being given a second chance by God, perhaps Peter is the supreme example. A man who was part of the inner circle of the Lord's disciples. A man who saw miracles wrought by Christ, received messages from Christ, beheld manifestations of Christ. He saw these things and received these things that the other disciples were denied. Peter was a disciple, and so therefore was a follower of Christ. He certainly was faithful to Christ, and he was fervent for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all the disciples, Peter was the most forthright in declaring his allegiance to the Lord Jesus. This was seen when many of the Lord's disciples went back and walked no more with him. You recall how the Lord turned to the 12. He said to them, will ye also go away? That means there were only 12 left. All the others had left the Lord, gone back, walked no more with him. And the Lord then turned to the 12 and said, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter, Simon spoke for the 12. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6, verse 68. Most commendable of Peter to speak up and to immediately own the Lord and say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Notice it was the word that appealed to Peter. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter spoke up again when the Lord challenged his disciples on another occasion with these words. But whom say ye that I am? Once again, Peter speaks up and speaks for the 12. But Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. When you read those words that came from the lips of this disciple, who can doubt his loyalty? Who can doubt his love for his master? But we all know that we are weak and sinful creatures that are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Simon Peter was one such individual who, when he was later put to the test and challenged about his allegiance to Christ and his discipleship, failed. He failed. He failed miserably. And it really does. It makes it very sad reading. And it has come to my own heart just how sad the whole episode was as I studied this portion again. He failed miserably and denied, as the Lord said, ever even knowing Christ. Failed to such an extent that he believed. He believed that he was finished. That after what he had done, he could no longer be used to serve the Lord. We know that from John 21. When Peter went back to his old trade, back to fishing. But the Lord, who is rich in mercy, lifted up this fallen servant of his and gave him a second chance. So let us take encouragement from this, that when we fall, when we feel the Lord in our service for him, the Lord is not ready to cast us off as unprofitable servants. We have noted that in this series thus far. But will set us up on our feet again and give us another opportunity to be his servants once again. But before we look at Peter's restoration, and before we look at that second chance that was given to him, we must look at Peter's life. As I've already said, we must look at what went wrong along the way. What happened to Peter, the man who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The man who said, "I will go with thee, Lord, to prison and even to death." What happened that caused Peter to completely disown the Lord? To deny him three times. And to do so with oaths and curses. What happened to Peter? I want, first of all, tonight, I want to look at the Lord and his warnings for Peter. His warnings. Peter's terrible denial of his Savior was a result of Peter not heeding the warnings given to him by the Lord. We have just read in our text those verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, here's the warning, here's the warning. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Notice the two words, to have, are in italics. That means they're not in the original. Our translator just put them there to add good sense to the verse and to the sentence. Satan, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Here we see, first of all, regarding the Lord and his warnings for Peter. Peter is cautioned about Satan. Peter is cautioned about Satan. Having just addressed all of his disciples about humility, he then directs his attention, first of all, to the person. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. The other disciples were there. But the Lord directed his words and his attention to Simon Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Perhaps Peter was one of those who was involved in the discussion that the Lord made, that Luke makes reference to here. Verse 24, when the disciples reasoned with each other of which of them should be accounted the greatest. Was Peter involved in that discussion? Is that one of the reasons why the Lord directed his words at Peter, saying, Simon, Simon, the Lord hath desired you. Peter would have done well to have heeded the Savior's words of warning. And indeed, prior to that, Peter would have done well to have heeded the Lord's words regarding humility. For the Lord had said there in verse 26, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. The Lord is teaching something about humility. Here they were discussing, and indeed there was strife among them about who, which of them would be the greatest. And the Lord was really telling them, I'm the one who should be sitting at the table, and you should be serving me. But instead, the Lord says, I'm serving you. You need to learn a lesson about humility. I'm the one who's serving you. I, the Son of God, and God the Son, I'm the one who's doing the serving. Just as he had done before, he taught the disciples, you recall in John 13, how he washed the disciples' feet. There's the Lord taking up the position of a humble servant. That was a menial task. When anybody visited the home, the servant in the house would go and get a basin of water and a cloth, and would come and wash the feet of the visitor. That was a menial thing to do. Remember what John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to loose the shoes of Christ. And here is the Lord, and he taught the disciples about humility. And here, as he sounds out this warning, the Lord said, Simon, Simon. He called out his name twice. That's significant. He called his name twice, just as he had done so regarding Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus. Remember how Martha had come to the Lord that day and complained to the Lord, carest thou not that my sister has left me alone to serve? There was Martha going to and fro, busy, 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 busy. And the Lord called out, Martha, Martha. He called her name twice. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Then he told her, your sister has chosen the better part. What was the better part? Your sister has chosen that part, for she's come. She's left you. Yes, she was serving. Came, and she's sitting at my feet, hearing my word. She's chosen the better part. But the Lord had to call her name twice to get her attention. Not only to get her attention, but for her to listen to what he had to say to her. Like a teacher in a classroom. Child is sitting at his desk and the teacher's lecturing and the child's doing something else. Often the teacher will have to call out that child's name twice to get their attention. Because the teacher has something important to say. And the Lord called, Simon, Simon. He wanted to get his attention. He did the same with Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? Saul was determined there on the road to Damascus to go and arrest believers and put them in prison. He was determined. That's why the Lord had to call her. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Simon, Simon. Why the repetition of the name? Certainly to get his attention. And because of the solemnity and the importance of what the Lord was about to say. That's why. Simon, Simon, Satan. Satan hath desired you to have you that he might sift you as wheat. He's desired you that he might sift you. That's why the Lord repeated Simon, Peter's name. And really, instead of Peter and the other disciples arguing over who and which of them was the greatest, Peter needed to be concerned about himself and the matter before him. That the Lord said to him, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat. This is a more important matter than arguing over who is the greatest amongst you. And really, in a humble way, the Lord was saying to his disciples, I'm the greatest amongst you. You should be serving me. Instead, I'm serving you. So when the Lord speaks to us, we would do well not to dismiss his warning voice, lest we make shipwreck of our lives. The word of the Lord is important, and we ought to take it to heart. Simon Peter, we look at it now. Every one of us can look at Simon Peter, and we can say, Simon, you should have listened to the Lord. We can say, Simon, you should have heeded what the Lord said. Likewise, when the Lord speaks to us, we should listen to what the Lord says. And when the word comes to us, as it came to Simon Peter, and sometimes in a meeting, the preacher preaches the word, and it's as if the word is for us. It's as if there's nobody else in the church building. And it's as if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, through the word, has singled us out. There's a reason for that. The Lord singled out Simon, and there was a reason for it. So when the word comes to us, as if it has already come,
We ought to give heed.
We ought to give heed. Simon didn't. He didn't. We know the consequences. First of all, you have the person. Then you have the plan. The words of warning given by the Lord would surely make any believer pay attention. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you. I thought you would think that would make Simon Peter sit up and pay attention and forget about what they were discussing about who was the greatest. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desired is a very strong word. Indeed, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you. The word desired means to demand. To demand. Satan desired, yea, demanded that he have Peter, that he may sift him as wheat. First Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, states the personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. That's true. I'll read that with those words again. The personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. In other words, J.C. Ryle is saying so often Christians easily dismiss the devil. They dismiss Satan. Even make a joke about him. When Peter denied the Lord, he wasn't joking. And this is he. This Satan. This is he who brought sin into the world. When he tempted Eve and bringing sin into the world brought in all the sorrow and the suffering. Satan did it. This is he who is described as the one going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Job 2 verse 2. This is he whom the Savior calls the Prince of the world. He calls him a murderer. He calls him a liar. This is he whom Peter later learned his lesson. In his first epistle, Peter said of Satan, he is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wanted to do with Peter. He also described him as our adversary, 1 Peter 5 and 8. This is he whom John speaks of as the accuser of our brethren. This is the one. This is he who is ever working in the world and in the churches of Jesus Christ. This is he who, when the good seed of the gospel is sown, is there ready to catch away the seed, steal away the seed, take away the truth from the hearts of the hearers. This is the one we're contending with. This is he who always stirs up persecution against believers. This is he who suggests false doctrines. This is he who ferments divisions amongst believers. This is the work of the devil. This is the one whom the Lord warned Peter about. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you. Surely the words of warning for Peter Are they not words of warning to us also? We cannot afford to rightly dismiss these words. Satan was after Simon Peter. And there's not a Christian in this world that Satan doesn't want to destroy. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to destroy us. Destroy our lives, destroy our testimonies. Destroy anything and everything that we believe. Peter was in, remember, as we've already said, Peter was in the inner circle of the disciples. Peter, James, and John. Made up that inner circle. John was the one who leaned on the Savior's breast. Simon Peter was the one who always stepped forward and became the spokesman for them all. And we have quoted some of the things that Simon Peter said. Where can we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here he was, part of the inner circle of disciples, and yet the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Just because he was part of the inner circle of disciples and was closer to the Lord than the others, apart from John, that did not exempt him. That did not keep Satan from him. Job was a holy man. A man who was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. But that didn't stop him trying his best to destroy. That's the word that's used. Job 2, verse 3. That's the word that's used. Trying his best to destroy him without cause. That's the work of the devil. That's our adversary. That's the one we fight against every day. That's the one who lays the snares for us, to trip us up. The one who wants to destroy us. That's what he wanted to do with Job. That's what he wanted to do with Peter. That's what he wanted to do with Christ. Remember the words? When Satan entered into Judas. There it is. Satan entered into Judas. And what did the scribes and the Pharisees want to do? What did they plan and plot with Judas? The word again is used. They wanted to destroy Christ. Release Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So it doesn't matter in this sense how close we live to the Lord. How close our walk is with him. Satan still wants to destroy us. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, behold, Satan hath desired you. You look at those words of warning now and you say, oh, Peter, why didn't you listen? Why didn't you listen? Why didn't you give heed to what your master said? We know now what happened. Peter didn't know at that stage what would take place. We know. We look back on it and we read about Peter and his three denials and his oaths and his curses. And then he went out and wept bitterly. could all have been avoided if only Peter had listened to the words of warning. We can avoid a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow, if only we listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Whether it's in our Sabbath day services or in your own reading, when we have a word given to us, it touches the heart, and challenges us, let's give attention to it. Let's not just dismiss it. Ask for somebody else. As well as the person and the plan, thankfully, it was the prayer. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, knowing what Satan's plan was, knowing what Satan's intentions were, what his diabolical plan was for Simon Peter, the apostle. Here the Lord assures his disciple. Satan wants you, and he wants to sift you as wheat. You know what you do with sifting? You have a sieve, and you put the wheat in, and then you shake it about. That's what Satan did with Simon Peter. My, did he ever give him a shaking. The Lord says, Simon, I want you to know, I pray for you. He was not going to prevent Satan from sifting him as wheat, but he would bring his servant through by his prayers. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. In other words, he wouldn't be utterly and absolutely and eternally cast away. I have prayed for thee. And it was owing to Christ's intercessionary work that Peter did not entirely fall away, but indeed would be given a second chance. Aye, we can praise the Lord for that. Let us be thankful. Let us be thankful then that there is one at the Father's right hand who ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. What a comfort to know that when Satan plans our destruction, and that's not too strong of a word, when he plans our destruction, our great intercessor is holding us up and surrounding us with his prayer. Praise his name. And as we shall see, it appears that Peter did not fully appreciate, fully appreciate the reason for the Savior's prayers. He didn't fully appreciate them. Now we know that the Lord Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. We know there's one in the glory who's praying for us. How much do we appreciate that? We come to realization that Satan is out to destroy us. He'll not take our souls into hell. No, that's not going to happen. But he'll be out to destroy us. If we have that realization and we are aware of that, Well, then we will appreciate all the more the prayers of Christ. We'll rejoice that the Lord prayed for us. Isn't it good to know? And the prayers of Christ will keep Satan back and keep him from destroying us. You noted the person and the plan and the prayers. Then the Lord makes mention here of the pardon. Just as the Lord knew that Judas would be the one to betray him, so he also knew that Peter would deny him. For he told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What did he mean? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We may understand what the Lord meant when we look at the word converted. Of course, Peter was a child of the Lord. So what did the Lord mean when thou art converted? He's not going to get saved over again. The word converted literally means to turn around. Now that throws a little bit more light on the matter. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art turned around, strengthen thy brethren. Because in his denial of Christ, Peter would turn his back on his Savior. It gives me a lump in my throat just thinking about it. That night he denied the Lord 3 times. See what he did? He turned his back on Christ. He would deny, even knowing, the one with whom he had walked with for 3 years. How many professing believers have turned their back on Christ? I make reference again to those many disciples. Many disciples who went back. It's the word. Many disciples went back and walked no more with him. What did they do? They turned their back on Christ. They went back to whatever they were doing before, and they walked no more with him, never again to walk with Christ. They turned their backs upon him. They went away, having turned their back on the Lord. Peter would do the same with his denials. But through his Savior's prayers and the grace of God, Peter would be brought to repentance. And Peter would be turned around. The night of the denial of Christ, he turned his back on Christ. But the Lord in grace would bring him to repentance. And Peter would again be turned around. No longer would his back be towards Christ, but this time he'd be looking into Christ's face. He would be turned around. He would be turned back again. be given a second chance at serving his master. And through his experience, what the Lord leads me, through Peter's experience, when thou art turned around, you'll turn your back on me, you will disown me. And when you are turned around, you will strengthen your brethren. The word strengthen there means to stabilize. Stabilize. Remember, all the disciples forsook the Lord. All of them. Peter was the one who was challenged on three occasions. Thou art one of his. I've seen you in the garden with him. And Peter said, I know not the man. But whenever Peter was turned around, the Lord said, you'll be able to strengthen. You'll be able to stabilize your brethren. In a way, when someone's been laid aside with some particular serious illness, maybe they have to go through surgery. And the Lord is pleased to bring them through the surgery and restore them to health and strength again. And then they know of a friend of theirs who has to go through the same surgery. Well, the person who has already had that surgery can go to that friend and say, I know. I know what it's like. I have been there. I have gone through that same surgery. And the Lord has brought me through. In that sense, Peter would be able to strengthen or stabilize his brethren. Peter could say, I have been that way. I have gone through that, all of that. I have denied my Lord. I turned my back on my Lord. For any of the other brethren who did the same, but Peter can encourage them. Peter can say it's all right. The Lord restored me. He can say, and the Lord will restore you. He can stabilize. I've only got to the first, not even the first point. Because there's so much here. And it really spoke to my own heart as I looked at Peter. I felt so sorry for him. But we have considered the Lord's caution about Satan. That will lead me on, and I'll get this point finished. But lead me on to not only the caution about Satan. Next thing we notice here is Peter's confidence in self. His confidence in self. Well, you can see it there. And he said unto him, Peter said to the Lord, Lord, I am ready. I can do this. I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I can do it. And the Lord replied and said, I tell you, Peter, again, there's so much here, but in the verse 34 again, he said, I tell thee. There's another word. You better listen to me. I tell thee. I'm the one that's speaking to thee. I'm your Savior. I'm your master. You're my servant. I know what the devil is about. I know the plans of Satan. I know the plans and the power of hell. And he said, I tell thee, Peter. Not somebody else telling you. It's not one of your fellow disciples telling you. I'm telling you. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm going to leave it there. That's where we'll take up the story, Lord willing. Do give thought to what is studied already tonight. Give some thought to it. And then we'll look at what Peter said to the Lord and how Peter placed his confidence in self. When confidence in himself, he exhibited pride. He hadn't learned from what the Lord said about in that discussion about who would be the greatest. The Lord had spoken to his disciples and taught them about humility. Peter hadn't learned. Instead, he was filled with confidence in self, and it brought about his downfall. I'm thankful the story about Simon Peter has a happy ending. I'm thankful for that. But until we get to that happy ending, there are many sad things recorded here. And remember what Paul said. These things are written for our worship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, and loving Father, we thank thee for the word. And how the study of Peter and those first steps that he took on his way to denying thee, how, Lord, they challenged my own heart. As I looked at this dear man, I know, Lord, he was forthright. I know he loved me. There's no doubt about that. I know prior to his fall, he was loyal to thee. He defended thee. And yet, Lord, through the pride of his heart and confidence in self, we fail and we feel. Vain is the help of man. We know the arm of flesh will always fail us. Lord, write this word upon hearts. Again, Lord, may we indeed take it to heart and learn from it, that we, Lord, will be alert for that roaring lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom he may destroy. Lord, be with us throughout this week. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, as a church family. And, O Lord, be pleased to bring blessings our way to the glory of thy name. Give traveling mercy now tonight. Each one will make a way for you. Watch over us during the night season throughout this incoming week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks. Shadows of all three of us.